أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين. With the immense blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will move to the next surah. The surah we have in front of us from 30th juz is Surah Abasa. We will not say Abasa as it will totally change the meaning, and especially if we say Ayn differently. First, we will listen to the recitation of the surah. While listening, think about yourself and not the others. When we listen recitation before the tafsir, then we might have many questions in mind.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma wa ma yudrika la'allahu yazzakka aw yadhakkaru fatanfa'ahu adh-dhikra. أما من استغنى فأنت له تصدى وما عليك ألا يزكى وأما من جاءك يسعى وهو يخشى فأنت عنه تلهى كلا إنها تذكرة فمن شاء ذكره في صحف مكرمة مرفوعة مطهرة بأيدي سفرة كرام بررة قتل الإنسان ما أكفره من أي شيء خلقه من نطفة خلقه فقدره ثم السبيل يسره ثم أماته فأقبره ثم إذا شاء أنشره كلا لما يقض ما أمره كلا لما يقض ما أمره فلينظر الإنسان إلى طعامه أنا صببنا الماء صبا ثم شققنا الأرض شقا فأنبتنا فيها حبا وعنبا وقضبا وزيتونا ونخلا وحدائق غلبا وفاكهة وأبا وفاكهة وأبا متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الصاخة يوم يفر وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه وجوه يومئذ مسفرة ضاحكة مستبشرة ووجوه يومئذ عليها غبرة ترهقها قترة أولئك هم الكفرة الفجرة.
Word Abasa came in Quran at many places. In Surah Al-Insan or Surah Al-Dahr, it comes Abusan Qamtarira, a name from the many names for the Day of Judgment. that will make the faces look horrible. From extreme dislike to it, there is a special incident in this surah, due to which this surah is called Abasa. It was revealed in Mecca. Behind it is a reason for its revelation, upon which all the paraphrasers agree unanimously. I will tell you the summary of the reason for its revelation, so when we do the tafsir of the ayahs, we can enjoy better, inshallah wa ta'ala. Few elite leaders were sitting with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in a gathering, and Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam were trying to convince them towards Islam. Just imagine new people and those who disliked even sitting next to Aap sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam came. Maybe by chance, or they had some business with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or someone asked them to come, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it possible for them to come. What could have been Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam's wish or desire at moments like these? That he conveys them the message of Islam in the best manner. While this all was going on, a Sahabi, Abdullah bin Umm Maktum, who was blind, he came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. As he was blind, he was unable to see what was going on there. So he started asking about Islam the moment he walked in. Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was trying to overlook him, but he insisted on getting an answer for his question. Like the way some people insist that, oh, it's just a matter of a minute, or it will not take long. But a minute talk end up taking 10 minutes, and the person who is discussing something important leaves, that he might come later or talk later. Basically, it is the matter of losing the train of thoughts and breaking the tempo of the conversation. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam disliked his interference, and he sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was little rude, and his facial expressions showed that. Upon that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. This shows that this surah is revealed in the early days of his prophethood. Why? Because Abdullah bin Umm Maktum embraced Islam in very early stages of it. Subhanallah, he was blind from the eyes, but his heart was illuminated. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like that. Ameen. Whenever any opportunity of any good deed is presented to you, try to embrace it right away. Say labbaik the same moment. Do not waste too much time to think about it. Such people are left behind. The historians and the paraphrasers wrote that he accepted Islam in Mecca long time before. And it is also written about him that he was one of those people who accepted Islam in very early days of Islam. A thought is coming into my heart that may it is written for us that we agreed on it in very early stages. See, accepting some work in its early stages is the sign of accepting it wholeheartedly. And delaying in acceptance and doing it at the end does not show that it was done with the content heart. So never delay the guidance presented, and that's what we learn from this action here. Plus, it became his good quality that he was among the ones who accepted Islam in its early stages. Then if we see some other narrations, then we find out that some say this story is even before he embraced Islam. He was inclined toward Haqq and came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in search of that Haqq and truth. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrated that when he arrived to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he said, Ya Rasulullahi arshudni, show me the right path, guide me towards the right path. It is a narration from Tirmizi, Hakim, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Jarir. The same way Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, he came and asked the meaning of an ayah from Quran. He came and said, Ya Rasulullah, allimni mimma allamaka Allah. Ya Rasulullah, teach me the knowledge which Allah taught you. This narration is from Ibn Jarir and Hakim. What we learned, that he already accepted him as Prophet of Allah because he addressed him as Ya Rasulullah. Then he believed in Allah. That's why he was learning his book. Then Ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that ayah 3 La'allahu yazzakka means so that he may accept Islam. There are many stages of guidance. Whatever stage he was on, he was definitely on a much better stage than whoever was sitting at that time with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam was steady in his heart, but others had yet to be given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said that you do not know. What if he finds guidance? He pays attention to the advice and advice benefits him, and he himself is eagerly coming to see you. So do not ignore him. Do not mistreat him. So he had so much urge to search the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised him for that. Then who were the people sitting with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is also a big thing. This is also to be seen among whom you were sitting and who else comes to ask. So from narrations we find out that they were among the worst enemies of Islam. Utba, Shaiba, Abu Jahl, Umayya bin Khalf and Abi bin Khalf. And it also shows that at this time these people were still interacting with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had not disassociated themselves from him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The tussle or conflict had not reached to a point that they refused to see each other. This was done towards the very end of Makkah era. And this surah is from very early time there. If you ponder over the context on or the subject of the surah, then you will see this surah is full of ethics and purification. I feel like it is a complete training session. The first thing in the surah is that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam was dealt with little harshness. And if Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam would have written this Quran himself, then this surah would not have been in it. Abdullah bin Umm Maktum was an ordinary man, but this incident made him someone special. Note this too, that Allah favored Abdullah bin Umm Maktum. Did you understand that this is something so special and such a big thing? Apparently, he has been scolded, but because of him, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told. Now let's talk further. After this episode, what should be Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's attitude with him? It was quite possible that he could have told him that do not come in front of me, as because of you I was scolded, and all the people who will recite Quran, they will know that I frowned just because you interrupted. Now you read Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seerah, that whenever Abdullah bin Umm Maktum used to come, he used to give him special attention and used to say that he is that person, because of him my Lord scolded me. This is because of a bigger heart. If Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an ego problem, even a little, then the outcome would have been totally different. Then the other thing, apparently, Prophet ﷺ was scolded in Abasa wa Tawalla, but in fact, Kufare Makkah were scolded. That have some shame. Stop being arrogant. Stop ignoring the truth of Prophet ﷺ giving dawah to you. And you are simply ignoring and giving him all of that hatred. Umm Maktum was compared to the leaders of Kufare Makkah, that you have such an arrogance in you. You think of yourself above all, so superior, and think others inferior. This also shows that this was very early stages of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dawah. And when any new da'i-deen starts doing dawah, then by nature their inclination is towards their own people. Their intention is that their own family member, their community members, and especially the influential and elite people accept their message, so it eases their work. Otherwise, even if the message is widespread among the poor, then it does not spread very far. So it is quite possible that Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might have thought that if these few family men, these leaders accept my message, then it will automatically be delivered to many others and even to many non-influential too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, it is not fair at all. Islamic da'wah is not at all like this. Neither Islam a property owned by the rich nor relative. The favors you are associating, you will get from. You will not get anything from them. But due to the nature of the da'wah, you have to give to each and everyone who is the seeker and acceptor of the truth. Whoever is the seeker of the truth, whoever will desire the truth, will be guided. Whether he is weak, non-influential or handicapped. Every individual should be unimportant who is ignorant of the truth, who denies it and consider it not important, no matter what status they hold in society. Let me give you an example. See, we will get some clues in the surah. But since we are in a rhythm, so talk. And we will do ayahs in their sequence, inshallah wa ta'ala. You go for shopping. You crossed one street. Who usually call to check out their stuff? Usually with small and not so fancy shops or selling stuff on their bikes or by foot. Then in contrast, if you go to either bigger shops or malls, do those shopkeepers ever call or insist that you visit their shop? Now expand this example. When someone is insisting upon something, no matter that thing is so important to you, you might buy it as you need it. But a thought definitely comes to your mind that this thing might be of substandard. And that's why he is so persistent in selling it to me. Naturally, you do not pay that much attention to them. Then the other scenario, you walked in the other expensive shops. They will make you wait till they finish dealing with the customer ahead of you. Now you take this upon yourself. You have this book, right? So what kind of product it is? Is this too expensive than even diamonds? Or is it a product sold in inexpensive shops and is of a substandard? So do not insist someone to follow the message. Convey your deen's message with prestige that people take it as an honor following it. When you will come, inshallah wa ta'ala, you will have a reserved seat. Versus, please, please come, let's go. Please come and attend the class. People will reject you that since no one comes, now they are begging us to come. Aching for people's guidance is something different. And being a well-wisher for others is different. But it is tried and tested that if you run after someone, they will run away from you. Example of a small child. That more a mother makes him eat his food, the more he reacts to it and do not eat. So guidance is not an unimportant thing. Prophet ﷺ's giving attention to those people is not as if he was after them. But at that time, they were actually sitting to understand. So if they showed cold attitude, then so be it. Remember, ache for someone's guidance. Call them once with total ikhlas and then leave them alone. Give them space to make up their minds as it is their need, not yours. Create the acceptance of haqq. So it means that we should leave our families alone? No, we will not leave them, but will bring awareness for the acceptance of the truth. And how it can be done? Make them taste it. Give them CDs. Give them different links. Casually make them listen a small talk. Maybe pass on a small pamphlet or a book. See if someone is not even hungry and you force them to eat, he will be upset at once and will refuse to eat. What you have to do is to create that craving for it. Make him want that. If someone does not come after inviting once, that means he does not have a desire for it. Sometimes just a small talk or a CD do wonders. How it could melt someone's heart. Calling them is different and telling them is different. And keep on nagging it, entirely different. Three things: to inform, to invite, and to enforce. First and third style shouldn't be in the path of Haq. Neither to force and nor to inform. So what needed to be done? To invite. In invitation lies the love of someone's heart. What we do to our relatives and friends is we just inform them with a very dry attitude. People will not come just by informing and certainly not by forcing. So when will they come? They will come upon your invitation when you will invite them wholeheartedly. All those phrases which you see on wedding cards. When for the worldly sake people use such invitational phrases, then why not for dini purposes? So it was told here that whoever does not pay attention, then there is no need to waste time on them. They have minds, let them decide themselves. Then what is the sequence of surah's contents? From the start of the surah till ayah 16th, is the continuation of the same story. There are many morals in it, and alhamdulillah, many we have discussed already. And inshallah wa ta'ala, along with the ayahs, we will learn more. From ayah 17th, directly whatever anger or punishment goes directly towards kuffar, who were constantly rejecting Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's invite, and they were being scolded that the Al-Raziq, who blessed you with so much, and this is your attitude towards him. And at the end, scenario of the Day of Judgment. You do not believe today, but tomorrow you will accept the reality. Then it will not be helpful. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to take lessons of guidance for ourselves and for others too. Ameen, summa ameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.